Welcome to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests bring you leading-edge astrology conversations through a journey of soul growth patterns connecting astrology's energetic cycles. Get ready to understand your path in the cosmic roots of the stars.
Hi, I'm Sue Rose Minahan, host of Talk Cosmos, a weekly conversation, leading edge conversation to awaken your authentic self towards your soul growth. And we're going to talk about the eclipse. We're in the season. It happens twice a year. That's when the alignment of our Earth, the three biggies, the Earth in its orbit around the sun and our personal moon all align to eclipse and shut the lights out of either the moon or the sun. And these represent really dynamically integral parts of ourselves. The sun representing that, just like the sun, shining everything into us, is our ego. We use it. We integrate. We synthesize through it. And the lunar part that reflects that is how we feel about it, how our emotions are. History of our childhood and our foundational self, very significant. So we've just had the lunar eclipse on the 19th of December in Taurus. And again, this is an astronomical factor. Astronomy and astrology were a united family until Age of Enlightenment and different things. And it's well wending its way back as a support of nature. So the fact is that it was in Taurus. Okay, now we're going to be talking about the eclipse in the when the sun is being eclipsed, and we can't see it. It's going to be down in Antarctica with the penguins, dear penguins. And it's going to be in Sagittarius, solar eclipse, and then our new moon in Gemini. So basically, we could consider these the sage and the messenger, ruled by Jupiter and Mercury, the cycle pump that can travel from Zeus, the sage, Jupiter, to the underworld to bring our spirit into our matter, which we are, one might consider, a spirit incarnated. So as you feel, what you get, not just what you see is what you get, but maybe internally is what you see is what you get. Okay, let's have it now for the Moonbeam team.
Relating to the sun and moon's energies, including the planets and the entire cosmos for the month's systematic two-week intervals of the new moon and full moon, plus the annual 4 to 5 eclipses, this is your Moonbeam team.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan, host of Talk Cosmos, an evolutionary astrologer and consultant, plus a certified color energy coach. I explore creative expression as an artist, a musician, and write abundantly, stories to poetry. I love investigating mythology's language, philosophizing eternity, and I'm a perpetual student of life, seeing oneness of body, spirit of people, animals, and nature.
I'm Elizabeth Liz Machette, certified astrologer, sacred healing counselor, tarotist, and numerologist, providing individual consultations, teaching and tutoring internationally, co-author of Gateways to Change, Keys to Navigating the Seas of Life, currently facilitating workshops in Marysville and Camino Island, Washington.
And I'm Sarah Stromley, a craniosacral therapist and founder of Brain Body Therapy in Kirkland, Washington. I'm an evolutionary astrologer that incorporates different forms of horary, location mapping, and medical astrology into my practice. I enjoy uncovering flower and mineral frequencies that also support the mind-body coherence that aid in the healing journey.
And as Albert Einstein said,
energy is never destroyed. Energy only changes.
Yeah, and we have some energy changing right here because we've had for several months, well, the team keeps changing. It's had Liz, it's had Sarah, we had Kathy, Catherine Metcalf, and from Illinois, wonderfully, and she was so glad, but she's needed to depart. And now we have Justin Crockett Elsie, also from the Northwest. And he's going to tell you about himself. And like the eclipse, we see something and we come back. So Justin, how can you, thank you for joining us so much. And if you'd introduce yourself.
Thank you. Yes, I'm an archetypal astrologer and professionally, and I do in-depth astrology readings and astrological research focusing on natal and progress charts and predictive astrology and predicting events and so on and so forth. So that's what I do.
You do indeed, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit more. Justin's also a medium and answers every question and an author and a great soul. So his he'll be officially part of our little intro. And thank you for joining us. So we have here the eclipse. We're right in the middle. It hasn't happened yet. Today is the 28th. I did not say of November. And so, and we are, and the sun is actually in Sagittarius. I was noticing about different techniques last night. I don't know why. Some nights are hard to go to sleep, you know? And so I was checking out the chart and I was looking at ideas like the transference of light, which is a traditional idea in astrology where the moon is its 0 degrees, starts going around and talking to the different planets. And I was noticing, well, of course, since it's in Virgo, it's pretty excited right off the bat with all that Sagittarius. But that's not, we're not talking about the new moon at the moment. I mean, the full moon. It's on its way to be full on the 4th. So, folks, what shall we say about this amazing new moon in Sagittarius? It's close to our south node. It 0 degrees or 1 degree Sagittarius. We could start off with the Sabians. Maybe we should do that. Justin and Liz, do you have, I think it's 2 degrees Sag.
The new moon in Sagittarius coming up?
No, am I That's saying full moon? Oh, I'm talking about, I'm talking about this full eclipse, this new moon. Exactly. I'm sorry. Because the nodes are in Sag.
It's actually at 12.22 degrees Sagittarius.
Yes. And I apologize. I was talking about the nodes. The nodes are at 2 degrees or 1 degree something Sag. And so that's where I'm getting muddled because it, you know, it's like a releasing factor with the Sag. But on the other hand, it's a, well, eclipses are releasing too, I suppose, but it's a new moon, a solar eclipse. So that's, yes, you're exactly 12:22 Sag. Thank you. Okay. Shall we?
I think we lost Liz. She normally has a lot of information on this, so
that's okay. But
well, I can tell you on the Sabian symbol that the major one there we're talking. The Sabian symbol for that is the flag, the eagle, and the chanticleer, right? The kind of the bugleist, right? And so it's really where we're talking about as we move forward in life, and with that Sagittarian energy around finding fulfillment and contentment, about, you know, going towards our highest and noblest ideals at this particular point in time, and really. Looking at where we've been and dealing with things from the past as we go forward into from the end of this year into new year. So that's that Sabian symbol at 12.22 degrees. So
the flag and the eagle, that's fascinating because that's really a symbolic energy too.
And I'm not sure if Liz had anything on that either.
I think.
Did you, Liz?
I'm back.
Oh, yay. Yeah, we were talking about Sabians for the solar eclipse on December 4th. I got a little mixed up, but still, yeah, it's at 12:22 Sag. Right?
Well, and it really speaks to the United States in many ways. And I call it the karmic degree or the degree leading up because I do it a little bit different than Justin. And so there's a little bit of idealism with that. And so how did we get here? There's some idealism with it. And then so I used the moon degree of 13 degrees Sagittarius. A widow's past is brought to light, more details to have a clear picture to move forward in a new way. And so that's where we're at right now. And the quest degree is moving towards, which is 14 degrees Sagittarius, a vast panorama of sand and time is unfolding. The pyramids and Sphinx in their glory rise before the eye. History and mystery of the past influencing us now to begin a new future.
Why, thank you. I would like to keep threading this concept in some of our conversation, because an eclipse does illuminate and it lets go, right? I mean, if I'm correct, and add on or change or be, Phil, jump in if at any point if I'm saying something that you want to add to or correct in some way. Because, as you know, we're going to the end of the year, we're the end of the nodes, they're going to be in Taurus next year. In fact, next week, Justin is going to be our independent guest speaker to talk about that with a Pluto return for the United States of America. And so it's really amazing to me that this Sagittarius energy that is coming through this what L.C. Wheeler started with Mark Edmund Jones back in 1925, that Dane Rudjar and a lot of eminent sensitive psychic astrologers or have embraced to illustrate what it means for each of these degrees. So here we are talking about the past, and we're talking about the idealism, and we're talking about recreating, what we see in the sand, which could get washed away, but the contentment part too, that you brought up, Justin. So if we could, some feedback further on this whole thought of how maybe we should look at the chart and see how we can draw that in. Thanks.
Well, and even though the sun and moon are 11 degrees away from the south node of the moon, so the south node of the moon to me plays into that looking to the past, what's happened in the past, what gems do we have from the past that worked out really well, and perhaps maybe some things that didn't work out, and it's time to just let them go and create something new or better.
Yeah.
So it ties in together, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, and I'm waiting for the others if they want to jump in here. Yeah.
That nodal degree that Liz mentioned is also, because the nodes always are in retrograde motion, it's at its very last degree, last minutes before it changes sign. And so it's this final concentrated energy of Sagittarius, which is of this idealism and this truth seeking and this need for higher values and so there's vision. An added sense, a vision of what the future holds, and it just seems to add more urgency.
Big dimension. Absolutely. We're at the end of a path, ready to talk about it. And Sagittarius has to have a voice. That's why we have Sagittarius. Gemini communicates. Sagittarius has an opinion. It's got to express it.
That polarity. Yeah,
that's right. And
yeah. And I would agree. And, when we look at the degrees, the way we look at it, I teach my students is the 12 degrees is where we're at, which is what we're bringing into that 13 degrees, which is the flag, the eagle, chandelier at 12, talking about our noblest ideals. And then, of course, as Liz pointed out, the 13 degrees, which is, what we are dealing with in the past in our society, a lot of stuff we're dealing with right now in society, which is racism and all this other stuff going on and moving towards our highest ideal. And that one degree is actually the Sabian symbol is the veterans, and it speaks, the veterans and their memories. It's sort of an archetypal symbol for the struggles that we deal with in society and where we're all trying to push towards this idealistic and noblest highest ideals that we're trying to push towards. And I think it's something that everybody's reflecting on as we come to the end of this year. And when we move, you know, at the end of this cycle, about where have we moved that rock up the hill so far now as a civilization, as far as what our highest and noblest ideals are, you know?
I like this, especially when I gaze at our horoscope. And for those that aren't able to see this, it might be on a podcast. We'll explain. This is based at 2:43 a.m. on the East Coast Eastern Time in the United States. So at this moment, right at the bottom of the chart, at the northern point, which is because the rising is 17 Libra. So has Venus. Venus is at the IC, at the bottom of the chart. And it's in the fourth house. And it's in Capricorn. So because I'm thinking all this whole I'm looking at the moon, but the solar eclipse is in the second house of values to begin with. And Venus is in this conditioned, trying to figure out what traditions in Capricorn it wants. It really relates, doesn't it? I mean, it's part of this energy that we're embracing. Like, what can we keep as Saturn in revolutionary Aquarius and with its square, because on Christmas it's going to be the third square with Uranus in Taurus, again looking at values. What are we keeping? What are we passing out? And what were those veteran ideas that they, what was it back in 1776 that mattered to people? Not necessarily everything that we're told.
Values change, and this astrology chart speaks a lot to our values. And it's like, I would say, since it's a new moon, we have new beginnings. So some of our values or belief systems could be worn out, and we're going to create new ones.
And sometimes they were secret ideas. I mean, you look at it right next to Pluto, and it's in the fourth house of our internal self. And perhaps they weren't even conscious of it, because Pluto is consciousness and unconsciousness, partly, and those motives. And I think we have some strong, you know, if one needs accountability, is so strong with Capricorn. You need to be accountable. You need to know where you had an ethical error. And I think that has to do a lot of strong measure. Now, people probably aren't in the mood for that right now, because it's the holiday seasons predominantly for many religions, not all religions, but for a large segment of the country. And of course, we have the globe here, so they're not all on the same page. But nevertheless, for wherever people are, they're going to have to come to some personal accountability to really make amends, right?
And then this chart has a bowl shape, so it has a focused, contained energy to it. So I would say focus on how you want to make changes, where you want to make changes. And communication is really important, too, at this time.
Ah, I like that. Go ahead and expand people on that, because, yeah, we're still in Gemini North Node, right?
Yes, but then Mercury's next to the sun and moon in this chart. So it, like, maybe creating a new communication style or listening to some other person's point of view that maybe you've been totally against and don't want to hear it all and want to go la, 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 la. But maybe it's important to listen just to see how other people, their opinions and beliefs are too.
Now, Sarah, did you have, I think, because, oh, I will preface this a little bit. You know, last week we had Tara All and Ashwin Subramanian, who did a moon book about the connection with the moon and all the other planets. And the point was, is that, you know, the moon is shining and doing its phases around the entire globe. It's our one person, most personal that planet that combines the east and the west immediately, we can say. So with that, I know that both Justin and Sarah are increasingly interested with with lunar mansions. And we've learned through our own conversation, which we do ahead of time, that there's not just one lunar mansion. There's the Arabic, there's the Vedic, there's maybe Egyptian, and I don't know, just like astrology, there's a lot of houses. There's a lot of ways to see things. So Sarah, if you would bring
I just wanted
which to, lunar mansion. And
I'll mention the lunar mansion before I add a point to the, I mean, this is a total solar eclipse. And when with eclipses, there is a very literal reaction that, that happens globally, where there is a disruption of the electromagnetic energy field of all different types of radiation and as well as light that that occurs, that is like having experiencing a loss of power in your wherever you are. It's like it's just it's very unsettling, you know, it just kind of jolts one. So it's a definite reset of those energies of Sagittarius and that polarity point of Gemini. It's also conjunct the point of the Great Attractor that's at 14 degrees of Sagittarius. And this is a point in the sky that where there's a gravitational anomaly that occurs because there's tens of thousands of stars, a big giant star cluster that causes our whole galaxy to be pulling towards this point. So there is an inevitable attraction or suction point of what this is, what whatever we're focused on, it's like, or not focused on, we're getting pulled to that point by the choice or by... Yes. The so things are just going to be snapping into things that have been stuck for a while. You can have breakthroughs with and things, you know, or things could break or choices could be made that you're not making choices about during this particular, as a result of this eclipse. So, to kind of tack on the Venus point as well, that Capricorn Pluto, it just really lends that sextile there and lends the
sextile to what? To Mars?
To Venus and Pluto.
From the moon?
From, yeah. Well, I mean, there's, no, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Not really, but I mean, I'm mixing that up with
That's okay. Jupiter. But can I go back on
sorry.
Something? No, no, it's beautiful. I'm really always glad.
I'm mixing up my notes here.
Hey, you know what? It's an eclipse time. We've been going off and on, and yeah, it's okay. What I just remembered was with the 12 degrees, is the United States of America has its on its Sibley chart 12 degrees Sagittarius rising. So this eclipse is exactly on the United States ascendant. So it is a most intriguing consideration as a nation to see what the strobe lights are, just like, well, however we want to see it. See what we see in the dark, right? What do we see in the shadows? Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and it's described that that super attractor point, it has a polarizing effect as well. So there's something that's very mysterious and
polarizing.
There's just certain situations that can be more polarizing based on.
Because, I see polarity always in the chart, right? There's Gemini, there's always opposites of one thing, an act. So how do you mean polarizing? Oh, you're saying polarizing perhaps because of the opinions. It's so strong, it's in the second.
Yes.
You know, that people are, vocalizing. So that, so obviously opinions aren't all, they're controversial, right?
Yeah, there could be dogma, propaganda, blah, 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 but as a shadow side of the Sagittarius piece, but
always,
But there's just definite potency with this. So what was what I was going to add? And I'll pause in case anybody wants to weigh in on.
Justin or Liz, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say something about the Venus, because I think that's really sort of, you know, apart from the moon and the south node and what's going on with the moon phase here, I think that this Venus is sort of, it's this partner over here that's playing this role is it's moved into Capricorn and now it's doing this close dance with Pluto, which will eventually conjunct. I think it's very important. You know, it's interesting here in the Pacific Northwest. We're getting all this rain, and Mesoamerican astrology and astronomy, Tlaloc, which was Lord of the Rain, is associated with Venus and with that rain and maize and growth. And I think, you know, when we see this Venus in Capricorn, this is going to represent sort of in the collective people, this desire for some more structure as they move into the new year and trying to find things that are stable, you know, in their lives financially and, you know, just in civilization as much as possible. So I think there'll be sort of this sort of people trying to desire to find that with Venus. And I think it's giving us a lot of opportunities as we look at one of the nakshatras, which is about finding stableness and overcoming obstacles in that Capricorn right now. And I think it's very possible. I think that's a very positive thing from the, you know, from the Arabic or the Vedic nakshatras, either one kind of mentions that aspect of, and I think there's a very positive energy going into the year with the Venus. I think it's very helpful to us.
That is encouraging to see that there's a strength to it, because I was just noticing too, and we'll bring it up with the new moon, that Venus will be going retrograde. So she's slowing down pretty well. And right now I think she's still out of bounds, because last night I was looking at this from Hawaii here, it was clear skies, and I could see that as you look at all the planets, because you have these little phone things, that Venus was out. Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
No, she'll be in Capricorn total though through March of this coming year. So the first part of March.
So we're just right now with Mars and sextile to that Venus.
That's what I was trying to point out.
Mars is assisting and helping, because the sextile is a helpful aspect. So it's like Mars is assisting with energy and passion.
Well, now we get to the new crunch. You know, Venus and Mars have always the cosmic lovers in some way, the yin and the yang. To be honest, one is our direction and one's our reception. But Mars is opposite. No, I can't. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing. 23 degrees. I'm thinking of the other chart. Never mind. Boy.
Well, and Mars is approaching a square aspect of adjustment with Jupiter. So at the same time, it's like sextile Pluto and Venus, but then it's approaching to be in a square with Jupiter. So, and Jupiter is a benefic planet, and so is Venus. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Because it's just 4 days afterwards. So it's approaching it. So it's still in effect.
So we have a lot to consider. Yes, Sarah, I think I hear you here. But a lot to consider right now with our actions, with our attitudes, Jupiter, our opinions. How are they going to go forward? What have we lost if we have? I mean, it's in trauma Aquarius, only if we can't get the new picture more beautifully. And then Venus is going to say, like we've collectively said here, what can we find that's stable?
There's a lot going on with this Venus, like, you know, the fact with this chart, I mean, she's with Pluto, which is a big deal. I mean, this is Venus rules money and relationships and, you know, where we, and it, you know, it's also that, and Pluto is just all about reinventing it. And she's also changing from an evening star, or I mean, from an evening star to a morning star. So she's a little more assertive than usual, and she's out of bounds. And she's angular in this chart. I mean, if we're looking at the U.S. chart, she's more angular. So it's activating this opposition to the what's in the public view and what's visibly seen. And she's conjunct this asteroid, Astraea, known as the goddess of purity and innocence, justice, and precision. Austria's father was the god of dusk, and her mother is the goddess of dawn. So there, I see just these layered themes of beginnings and endings.
Beautiful. Occurring. That's beautiful. Very wonderful. We have a brief breakaway, but I do want to add that for folks that are wondering about Venus as an evening star, she's still beautiful in the sky, and she's going to continue being beautiful all through December into January, and we'll probably revisit that one because she does have sets in January 3rd. So get out there and look at her. We'll be right back, Moonbeam team, November 28th, and thank you so much.
While we take a break from this week's edition of Talk Cosmos, let's take a look at this cycle's archetype. We are currently in the Yang period of Sagittarius, ruled by the largest of all planets, Jupiter, the Roman god, or Zeus by the ancient Greeks. By leaving a cycle based on power and powerlessness of life and death and regeneration, involving committed relationships, Sagittarius energy finds meaning for an expanded perspective and potential for actualization in their search for truth. As a mutable fire sign depicted by the centaur, Sagittarius is adventurous and seeks the beyond. Sagittarius travels to far places, physically and mentally, to find the truths of life.
Talk Cosmos brings you leading-edge astrological conversations with hour-long programs each week on KKNW. The show goes live every Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. Talk Cosmos weekly programs are also available to watch live on Facebook and YouTube, along with daily chats throughout the week on the Talk Cosmos YouTube channel. While you're there, make sure you click like and subscribe buttons so you can get the full Talk Cosmos experience. Or, if you'd rather listen to the show archives with audio only, the entire podcast collection since 2018 is available on most podcast carriers. So, grab your coffee, tea, or kombucha and enjoy the show.
Uncover new depths of yourself by decoding the moon planet cycles and phases. Uniting Eastern and Western astrological approaches, this groundbreaking book, Astrology by Moonlight, takes you beyond static birth chart analysis and immerses you in a diverse power of the lunar phases. Tara All from the USA and Ashwin Subramanian from India have come together to take a fresh look at the moon and its synodic phases with each of the traditional and modern planets, including Pluto. Astrology by Moonlight also reveals how the phasal relationships between the moon and planets help you recognize your personal rhythms and find more meaning and purpose in everything you do. Life is full of cycles and phases, and anyone, whether they know astrology or not, can relate to them. And if you know almost everything about the topic, it just might open the door to a new perspective. One more time, the complete title of the book is Astrology by Moonlight, exploring the relationship between moon phases and planets to improve and illuminate your life, and is now available to order on Amazon and most places books are sold. The book will be out for delivery when it releases on December 8th.
Hi, this is Liz Machette, astrologer, tarotist, Reiki master teacher, and you're listening to Talk Cosmos on Alternative Talk 1150 AM, where we discuss the meaningfulness of our roots in the stars.
Talk radio that will get you thinking. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, everybody. Thank you again. You know, listening to that, I have to remember with Sagittarius, which the sun is in, and the solar eclipse that's coming up, is about truth, isn't it? And it is about the wild. You know, the centaur is half mankind, a physical man, actually, and but representing mankind, humanity, and the wild, the animals. And it's that nature within. So hopefully with this reconnection of everything, we'll remember to start embracing that whole dimension. So if people had more to say, otherwise we can go back. Oh, you know what? We didn't look at some of the phases, because there is the new moon in Gemini. But I know that looking back, there's lunar gestation periods. And Liz or Justin?
We're going to look at that with the full moon.
Oh, gosh. Okay, you know, sometimes life is a lot of dyslexia. Okay, pardon, no more said. Let's go to the new moon. The full moon. God, it's with the Saturn. Forget it. Okay, Gemini, here we come. Full moon on the 18th. Okay. And it's 27 degrees, almost at the half point at 29 minutes in Gemini. Very late at the sun will be at the galactic center, which is the center of our galaxies. Hello.
Yeah, they can. I like how Philip Sedgwick describes that planets conjunct that point at the galactic center is like defragging a computer. So if people aren't familiar with that, it's just where you're removing old software, old programming, old concepts and beliefs, and you're able to tack on new beliefs, new processes, and new tools, and you're able to boil it down and get your whole mind, spirit functioning more efficiently. So
good. Well, we have changes galore. So we have here, I think what I was looking at. I know what I'm looking. I'm remembering the lunar eclipse when Mars was opposing Uranus. Yeah. Any rate, Liz, do you have some thoughts?
Well, to me, Chiron is very active in this chart, and Chiron is the wounded healer, teacher, and it's sextile to Venus and Pluto, so it has a good connection with Venus and Pluto assisting each other. It squares Mercury very tightly, and it trines the South Node, so there's all this action happening with Chiron of healing, and it's in the seventh house in the East Coast chart. So in relationships, I would say that there's a lot of healing taking place. And that can be one-on-one relationships, business relationships, intimate relationships, relationships of all kinds. So that's pretty exciting. You know, because these charts are really showing big shifts and changes, you know, are about to take place. The new moon chart that we just looked at a moment ago, or the first half of the show, you know, there's was so much going on below the surface that, you know, maybe people still didn't have quite all the information, but now it's shifting. So it's very Western hemispheric. So it's like shifting from that Northern hemispheric to the Eastern or the Western, sorry.
We're open, right? The Western is where we are open and available. We share everything. So that's coming up right before the season, before the solstice. I mean, there's so many things. It's before the solstice, before the retrograde, the next day Venus does a retrograde. Justin, did you have?
Yeah, I totally agree there. You know, I like how Liz pointed out the Chiron in the seventh house of relationship. Because at the same time in the chart, I'm looking at Hygieia, which is in Libra, which is about relationship and the hygiene of relationships, the health of relationships. And I think, you know, when we look at the air signs, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, it is about relationship. They're air signs and communications and thinking and how we deal with relationship. And interestingly enough, the Sabian symbols speak to that. That points to relationship. With the 27 degrees, the gypsy emerging from the forest, trying to, you know, reach a larger whole and reach out to relationships. And of course, then the 28 degrees speaking to kind of liberation from the past with relationships and a new change in relationships. And then, of course, the Vedic Nakshatra also pointing out about that people are going to be focus more on the mental side of relationships right now. So I think Liz was spot on with that, that this is really more of a focus is with this moon around relationships.
And it does trine the galactic center, which, Sarah, you were mentioning, Hygieia. That's a very healing flow, you know, it's that by trine, you know, it's a flowing energy towards what we're embracing. So, you know, which is the full moon. Yeah.
I wanted to tack on to that, Chiron, how Mars is trine that, and from 4 degrees of Sag to the 6 degrees of Chiron in Aries, and
8 degrees. But that's
okay. 8 degrees. Sorry, my glasses aren't.
I know.
It's in really small. So, yeah. But I wanted to mention that there that trine aspect though is there's an exercise that was recommended on again Philip Sedgwick recommends this galactic center exercise of writing down. I get to be wrong about. You put that at the top of the page, and then you start writing down all the things that irritate you, and you kind of rewrite the script of what your story is going to be in regards to this. So
to bring awareness and then to release.
Awareness, yeah, it's a great awareness and release point to kind of get your, because the galactic center is kind of what we revolve around. And so it
I
just
like
helps
that. It's just like the sage and messenger just that was flashing on the screen that we'd brought up. You know,
I think there's both of these lunations that we're discussing here between in December are very powerful for deep cathartic healing on that we haven't been able to reach for a long time. So.
Well, and that's enforced by the Mars and South Node being in the third house of communication. So writing it out would be one form of communication. So to me, that's just another hint that that's really a great thing to do. I wanted to add something about the Sabian symbols. It's like a new perspective, a new chapter in life, and letting the talents and creative potentials come forth is what I would add to the Sabian symbols.
Allowing. I like that. Yes. And of course we have Neptune. I was noticing that's you know, right. For the nation, I mean, we're talking, you know, as a collective here, spiritual potential on the cusp of the other. So that, because I'm thinking with the writing, there is such a thing as automatic writing. Just in other words, without contriving, just flowing and allowing it to reveal. So I think maybe a dialogue between the two, you know, to figure out. I'm a big fan of that in a lot of ways.
And then a few hours after this, which will be on the next day, Venus goes retrograde, but it's just a few hours after. So that to me plays very important in this chart.
And how would you describe that?
Well, looking at maybe how things of what we really would desire or want to have or our creative potential, it's like maybe... You know, lots of people have been moving lately. It just continues the movement. I mean, look at houses they've been selling. You know, they're sold in 5 days. I mean, that's pretty quick. So there's like all this, people are relocating. So they must have a new value of where they want to live. Some are moving closer to family. Some are moving because they want to work at home now. So there's all this different, I would say it's a reevaluation process of, again, our values and our desires of what we want.
There sure is. I'm thinking when you bring up that, what comes here on the news sometimes is alarms me as to the matrix of our national sense of identity, because homes are being bought up by Wall Street all across the nation in certain cities. I know Atlanta and other cities where they're renting them. And so it's making it very difficult for a certain, you know, for people to buy homes. You know, one factor, and that I think as a value, is part of the picture. Is part of the picture.
Yeah,
I totally agree, and I think I love the remedy that Sarah brought up there of how to look at this and a healing aspect and the remedy aspect of it. And I think the whole thing that Liz mentioned about people moving right now, and we're seeing that people are making, reevaluating, readjusting. Aquarius is where they're making those adjustments to relationships. And I think that trine in the chart between Hygieia there, that asteroid in relationships and the second house of values, when you're talking about values and trine with Jupiter, which is wanting to expand and get out there in the collective more, and the moon in that Gemini, and it's about how our perspective and relationships. I think this is a great time to reevaluate, and to, that's why people are moving. Like that gypsy moving out of the forest from her tribe, mm-hmm. And one of the Sabian symbols. It's really about moving into a different place and a different communities. And so, this is a great time for people to change communities, look at different groups and change that. I think it's a really positive time for that. You see a lot of people getting off of different social media platforms and getting on new media platforms because of the Jupiter and Aquarius aspect there. So. Definitely. It's all about relationship and changing that right now.
Yeah. New horizons. Isn't that true? When it comes to social media or weather too, and all of that, it's like, how are we embracing?
So talking about lunar cycles, the yearly lunar cycle, the new moon in Gemini was on June 10th of this year. So if you think back to June 10th, maybe what was going on in your life, if you journal, that's a lot easier to look up, or if you keep any kind of a calendar, are you continuing to work on those things, or it could be a time of releasing it and going, well, I thought I wanted that, but I really don't want it. And then the other cycle that we're in is the lunar gestation cycle, which is a 3-year cycle. And the new moon phase of that began on June 21st of 2020. So we're in the middle of that phase. So you can even go back to June of 2020 and see if you're working on some of those processes that you started.
Well, that one I did have. That was a Cancer solar eclipse. So maybe, Justin, we can bring that one up. That was the one that were wondering, did I do something wrong? Go ahead.
What? No, you called Nathan Justin. I also want to point out another cycle when we look at this is the how the moon bringing in the lunar nodes. So the first Gemini Sag new moon back in 2019 in November. And that kind of spoke to, again, relationships. We were giving sort of a taste about how our philosophy of beliefs and about relationships with those new moon and full moon in November, December of 2019. That was sort of the lead in to the change of the nodes into Gemini and Sag.
There's some
on top of what she was mentioning, those phases.
Yeah, no, these are really strong. I mean, as far as, because we didn't bring up those charts to show here, but I did pull them up and look at these things. And then, of course, going back to 2003, because every eclipse is part of a Saros, Saros cycle. So it's every 18 years, 8 months, 11 days, there's going to be another part of this family that extends from 1,200 years to sometimes 1,500 years. It's an enormous span of time. And the last one was in November 23, 2003. So they're marking points, aren't they? If we look back on a personal basis in 2003, for myself, that was pretty momentous, to 2020, which we're saying last year on those last solar eclipse, if I remember, if that's correct. I had a very personal experience. My mother died on that eclipse day. And of course, here in the United States, it depended. It was right around midnight, so it could have been it was actually during the eclipse. It was on the 18th, or it's on the 20th, you know, and then later on it was on the 21st. And then also going back to 2019, May 6th, I think it was it, where the nodes went in. So we're in this long sage and messenger time between ourself, isn't it really? The relationship with ourself and other people and how we're doing the cycle pomp, getting into our inner spirits to reflect out. A lot of new directions. Just any comments or, you know, please feedback here or lunar. I think, Sarah, you had some lunar things that you were going to talk about. Vedic. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I just know that these lunations in December are just really speaking to this very concentrated and controlled energies that are at our disposal, that are very favorable for uncovering resources and working towards the pursuit of goals.
Control?
So,
not sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Which one are controlled?
Well, Mercury's in Capricorn. It's trine Uranus, which makes it incredible innovations possible. Breakthroughs. We could have incredible breakthroughs with creating formulas and recipes for success or for things that work in our lives or create new businesses or create new ways of doing things.
Yeah, I see. I was just control kind of threw me off. I think of Virgo and Scorpio.
But yeah, there's also a real physicality.
New structure, new form. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's also a lot of physical needs with this too. I mean, there's just all this Sagittarius energy, you know, it rules the legs and the knees and, you know, with all the Capricorn energy that we're moving into. So like getting into a habit of walking or running more, or just getting more physical exercise is really going to help us on a spiritual level too. So the eclipse point was conjunct Antares, which is a royal fixed star, and it's at the knee of Sagittarius, which I thought was interesting. And there was, you know, another Deacon point that also emphasizes bones, the strength of bones or potential weakness of bones. So I just wanted to add something around the caution of lifting things correctly, using good form, and recognizing and sending love to your knees in the way that you use those micro movements day in, day out that can strengthen or weaken those points.
It's interesting because knees are bending issues in a framework. Mm-hmm. And so it is sort of an intriguing idea that we're trying to bend possibly what traditions and what
how we lift
the past. Well, yeah, how we're lifting our past to our future and recreating structure and foundations and all that. You know, it's a lot of dynamics involved.
Liz, you had something about the numerology. I thought that was really good about tying this together too. It was 9.
Well, it's at 27. So 27 Gemini makes a 9. So it's a time of endings and new beginnings, completions.
It is. You know, I guess it's a time to embrace. I had a friend that just sent a quote that life is where you have two arms. You have grief and gratitude. And without one or the other, you have really nothing. And I was thinking, someone needs to be glad, right? To have grief and gratitude. Blessings. Thank you. And may the season give light. Thank you so much.
See you in the new year.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests connect soul growth patterns with the energetic cycles of astrology. Be sure to tune in next Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific time to continue your journey through the roots of the cosmic pathway.